We've heard the term equity replace equality lately. We've heard references to critical race theory. We've seen a change in direction, a strategic change in direction by the left as it relates to the use of race as a cudgel against their opponents and as a platform for their real goals. And it is in that vein that we dig a little deeper here. Our guest is Daniel Greenfield. He's a Shulman Journalism Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. We just had David on, I guess it was last week. He's a journalist for Front Page Magazine and the magazine's blog, The Point, and he has his own blog called Sultan Kanish. Daniel Greenfield wrote a piece in Front Page Magazine entitled Southern Poverty Law Center Stops Monitoring Black Hate Groups Because of quote-unquote equity, giving racists a pass in the name of anti-racism. Boy, how many times do we see that? Daniel, can you explain exactly what's going on here and why we should care?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center is treated as the definitive group that's monitoring hate groups. In practice, the Southern Poverty Law Center is really destructive. It mostly targets conservatives. It targets people who are religious. It defines hate however it wants. It's also incredibly sloppy. I was named a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, along with a bar sign in Pennsylvania that's now defunct. By that, I mean both the bar and the bar sign. But in the past, they at least pretended to occasionally have a both sides monitoring, and that they would also monitor black supremacist groups and white supremacist groups. Now they're basically saying they're eliminating the black supremacist, or as they call it, separatist category entirely, because monitoring black hate groups is somehow racist.
So for people that don't know what the Southern Poverty Law Center is, somebody posted the other day that, you know, they run around calling people racist, I mean, calling people terrorists. They want this person branded a terrorist. For people who don't know who and what they are and a little bit of their history and how powerful they've become, can you speak to that? Because to me, that's a big part of why this matters.
So back in the day, this was started by a guy named Morris Thies, who actually went out and defended the Klansmen, but he was also really good at direct marketing. He ended up in the Direct Marketing Hall of Fame, and there was a time when the Southern Poverty Law Center was fantastic at direct marketing. It would just own the whole Klan brand. It would keep sending out these letters to elderly people with a picture of a Klansman burning a cross, even though that had not been the thing in really quite a while. They made an incredible amount of money doing all that. And they became very powerful. So not only do they have assets, I believe at this point are about $500 million, which is quite impressive for a group that's got poverty in its name, and those assets do not go to help people in poverty, as you might think. They largely go to pay the assets of the organization. But meanwhile, they've claimed that they have the authority. They are the authority, and they're treated that way by the FBI, by the police, by a lot of organizations, certainly by the media. When the Southern Poverty Law Center says that something is a hate group, that's that, and this has real-world consequences. For example, there was a push to actually bake Southern Poverty Law Center ratings into nonprofit trackers. There was a push for Visa, MasterCard, and others to stop accepting payments for groups that they deem to be hate groups. And again, that includes, by the way, the David Horowitz Freedom Center, which I work for. It includes the American Academy of Pediatrics. It includes a whole list of organizations that somehow fell afoul of them in some general way. Their hate map, or what they call their hate map, has also led to at least one act of terrorism with the Family Research Council, a conservative family organization in D.C., being targeted by a terrorist who was looking for an anti-gay group that he found from the Southern Poverty Law Center's so-called hate map. So there's political repression. There's also political terrorism that happens as a result of this. This organization has gained an incredible amount of influence, even though Morris Thies, whom I previously mentioned, had actually been forced out over allegations of racism and sexism. The organization just keeps churning on.
The line sticks in my head. If you can repeat that, they have, did I get this number correct? $500 million in assets?
They have about $500 million in assets. It's a growth industry.
You said for an organization that has poverty in its name, I had to turn off my mic so I didn't laugh while you were saying, that's pretty good stuff. They're almost a quasi-governmental agency, aren't they? I mean, their level of influence over government, policy, media gives them the ability by sticking this terrorist tag on people to really, really bring pain on people.
Absolutely. They're treated like experts, which is really the big thing we're dealing with these days. We have organizations that set themselves up and they declare themselves to be experts, and then their recommendations, their ratings are treated as something that has to become policy, as opposed to being an advocacy group, which is what the Southern Poverty Law Center is. But again, law enforcement listens to them, politicians listen to them, corporations listen to them, and people are kicked off Amazon, they're kicked off social media, they lose the ability to accept credit card donations because, again, this organization, which has a very shady history, which has absolutely no standards in Twitboy, is extremely radical, says that they are a hate group. And again, I am one person that was listed as a hate group. That's how methodical they are. Not only don't they understand what hate is, they don't even understand what the definition of a group is.
You know, if I wasn't paying close attention, I wouldn't catch your one-liners. They're really good. You know, it's not a comparative suffering or who's the worst. They can all be bad. But you point out that the importance of monitoring some of these black hate groups, and that's not a black person with whom someone disagrees, that's true hate groups, is the history in the civil rights movement of some folks like this. You quote black nationalist Stokely Carmichael declaring, quote, "I've never admired a white man, but the greatest of them to my mind was Hitler," or Farrakhan calling Hitler a very great man. How much hate group is there in the modern Black Lives Matter movement?
So the Nation of Islam, who is Farrakhan, which is a movement that isn't actually conventional Islam. They believe that white people were created by a mad scientist and are going to be killed off, is probably the largest and most influential religious hate group in America. They have between 30,000 and 100,000 members. Farrakhan has been photographed with everybody from Obama on down. He gets a lot of respect. Beyond that, you've got a lot of splinter groups from them, and these various groups all kind of believe similar things. White people are evil. They have to be killed off. And we've had two major attacks by a group called the Black Hebrew Israelites, one of which was a major shooting in Jersey City. So these people are definitely a presence. They're very violently racist, and refusing to monitor them has been a push that's been made by the Democrats. You've had Senator Kamala Harris, Senator Cory Booker, all pushing for the FBI to stop monitoring them. And when the Southern Poverty Law Center now says we're not going to monitor them because it violates equity, that provides fuel for the fire and will make it much harder for law enforcement to keep track of them.
Wow. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. I'm glad the David Horowitz Freedom Center is there. Keep telling the truth and exposing this, because it's the sort of thing that people don't see, don't notice. And until someone like you does it, the media is not going to out itself for this. Daniel Greenfield, you're a fantastic guest. You're doing great work. Please come back and visit us.
Thank you. It would be my pleasure. And thank you for all the work you do.
Yes, sir.